believe and just have faith. But we're going to talk about what real faith is. Here's the definition of that, just, you know, really what I came up with just as I was preparing. Real faith is applying what we believe. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Real faith applying what we believe. Not just saying we believe it, but applying what we believe. Doing what we believe. People fight for what they believe in. People do what they believe in. So real faith is more than just saying, I have faith. Real faith is showing you have faith by applying it into your life and doing it. Let me read just a little joke. This really applies to my message tonight. I was flipping through here and come across this, talking about real faith. In a rural community in Kansas, there was a year-long drought. All the crops were dying. In desperation, Larry Gates, the pastor of the Methodist Church, the only church in town, announced that the whole community would assemble at the edge of one of the fields and pray for rain. A large crowd gathered, and Pastor Gates climbed on a tractor and surveyed the flock. He shouted, "Brothers and sisters, we have come here to pray for rain." "Amen," responded the crowd. You get a lot of amen in the crowd. Thank you. "Well," said the minister, "do you have sufficient faith?" "Amen, amen," shouted the crowd. I mean, they're into it. All right," said the minister. "But I have one question to ask you." The crowd stood silent, puzzled, and expectant. "Brothers and sisters," shouted the minister, "where are your umbrellas?" You get it? That wasn't funny? Oh, thank you, Sherry. I thought that was funny. He said, "We're going to pray for rain. Where's your umbrella?" See, what it comes down to is how much do we say that we believe in something, but we don't really open our hearts to accept it, to really believe what's going to happen into our lives. We just kind of give lip service, right? Kind of like, folks, "I'm coming to church, Pastor. I'll see you Sunday." Yeah, 2013, 2014, 2016. When's that going to be? Lip service. But when we believe something, when we're really carrying out our faith, we come expecting. That's what faith is. We expect. Go back to marriage. You married your wife. You expected. When you got married, you should have, if you didn't have any reservations or any voice speaking to you. You went in with full expectation. This is my life partner the rest of my life. This is the one I'm going to be with all of my days. I got true faith. I'm taking that step of faith, and I'm expecting her and me to be together. I'm expecting her to be the wife of my dreams all of my days. You expect that. So when you pray for something, break out the umbrella. Don't just say it. I thought that was kind of cute, but I guess it wasn't one of the better jokes. I'm sorry. Should have had a drummer up here. I could have done a little cymbal for me like a bad thing. Yes, thank you. Right, that's what you were thinking. Well, yeah, why didn't have umbrellas? Yeah, got it. Real faith applying what we believe. Get the next slide, Jeremy. Oh, we're going to be in verse. Look at what James 2:14 says. "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" Let me expound on this. I want to be very clear on this. This is not contradicting Paul's message of faith alone, not at all. In fact, Paul talked many times about how true faith is tested by the works produced that follow faith. So James is not insinuating that works has anything to do with salvation. He's simply making a statement that if you say you have faith, but you're not doing anything with that faith, do you really have faith at all? Go to the next slide. A workless faith is a worthless faith. If you're not working it, it has no value. If you're just letting your faith lay dormant, it has nothing productive in your life, producing no fruit in your life. You just say you have faith, but you have nothing to show that you really have faith. A workless faith is a worthless faith. Go to the next one. A faith without works is no faith at all. True faith acts. You know, I talk to people that are scared to get married. I talk to a lot of people, been together for many years, and they say, I just don't want to tie the knot because as soon as I do, something will happen. Well, that's not faith. That's not faith whatsoever. Faith is stepping out there saying, you know what, we're going to tie this knot. I'm going to put on this ball and chain. I'm going to put on this wedding ring. And I am going to believe that we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful marriage. You jump into it. You act on it. I mean, why do you propose to someone? Because you're carrying out the faith of love you have for them. It's more just to say, I love you. Doesn't love produce works? You know, if you love your wife, you love your husband, you love your children, don't you do something to show them that? You know, you bless them with gifts. You bless them with attention. You know, you do little special things for them. You hold them. You hug them. You kiss them. You know, you support them. You listen to them. You wipe their tears. You do something to show that my faith's more than just saying I love you. My faith's real. I'm acting it out. I'm doing something with what I say I believe in. Now, go to the next. We'll get into read the rest of this chapter in James 2. Or not the rest of it, but several verses. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? What's he saying here? This is like you going to Joe Brown's house, and you knock on the door. Deacon Brown, I hadn't ate in 3 days, and I'm really hungry. I've been out of luck, been out of work. My pantry ran out. I'm trying to find a job, but I'm hungry. I'm so hungry. I'm not eating anything in 3 days. Can you help me? And Deacon Joe looks at him and says, brother, I got faith that God's going to meet your needs, and I'll be praying for you. God bless you. And close the door. That sounds stupid, but that's the analogy he's using. What did Deacon Brown's faith, did it have any value to that man? Zero. Because it didn't provide him what he needed. He just said, I'll be praying. I hope God will, you know, God will make a way. I believe for you. But he was supposed to be the blessing. His faith was supposed to be applied in a way that brought a need being met in that man's life. That's what faith does. It does more than just we say it. It meets the needs of others around us. True faith does. It meets the needs of those around us by our actions and works that we do. Now, we know that works never produces salvation, but true salvation will always produce good works because our nature's been changed. And when it's changed, those works will follow. If a person's really been born again and they used to be tight and stingy and envious and jealous and a swear and a just whatever, used to be just a rotten, nasty person, and they really get saved, you should start seeing some different works from that life. Not that works is what saved them, but works is a result of that saving grace. It's a result of it. So all of a sudden, that person to be nasty and mean and, you know, tight and stingy and wouldn't bless nobody or help nobody, all of a sudden, they're opening their door to you now, and they're loving on you, and they're giving to you, and they're compassionate, and they're listening because something inside changed. Their faith's alive and working. See, faith's got to be active to do any good. I mean, faith's got to be active to do any good for anybody. If our faith's just dead, then it doesn't produce any fruit. We're not blessed, they're not blessed, and God's not glorified in anything that we do. So faith has to have some works. Even so, faith that hath not works, it's dead. Being alone. Now think about this. If we are not acting out our faith, it's like a dead man. Do any of you go to Bus Johnson Funeral Home to pay your respects and expect to shake the man's hand in the coffin? I hope not. I mean, you know, and I hope if that happens, I'm on around the corner a good ways so I don't freak out. But you don't go because why? That man's dead. He's producing no more value to us in the earth. He's gone. When our faith is not being activated, we're not using our faith. Okay, you may be saying, how can I use my faith, though? How can I express that in a way that manifests fruit? Well, one way we exercise our faith is we actually pray. We pray. We spend time praying. We witness to other people. We shine our light. We love people. We serve people. We give to people. We give to the church. We support the church. We assemble as a church. Those are ways we show our faith as being active. You know, it's kind of like the people that say, I don't need church to serve God. I understand that. You say that all you want. But the point is, if you truly have faith in God, you understand that's part of what God wants for your life, is you assemble yourselves with your brothers and sisters. You should be together. You should have a desire to be together. Because that's what faith does. It produces a desire to want to be in God's house when the doors are open, to be a part of what God's doing in my local body. That's what faith does. Faith's active. Faith's working. Faith is this. When your children come to you, and, you know, they say, hey, Mom, Dad, I'm going through something. Let's pray about it. Let's pray right now. Let them see your faith in action. Let them see it. You know, there have been times, and I try to use wisdom, I really do. There have been times I've been out in public with someone, and they'll tell me a story of what's going on, so I really need prayer, and I'll say, look, let's just pray now. And I'll try, if I can, to find somewhere a little more private, and we'll walk somewhere, and say, let's go pray now. Let's just do it right now. I call people on the phone a lot of times, and I'll say, I'll pray through on the phone. I can't get to them, let's pray over the phone together. You know, they say, pray for me. Let's pray right now on the phone. And we pray together on the phone. That's faith being activated. Faith can't produce any results if you don't activate it. You remember, if you're my age or a little older, there used to be the cartoon called Super Friends. They always met in the Hall of Justice. And they had the Wonder Twins, the brother and sister in a purple suit. Anybody remember those Wonder Twins? Ed, you don't remember that? The Wonder Twins. They were brother and sister. And they would bump fists and touch each other, and they would say, activate, turn me into a wall of water. And one of them turned into a wall of water. And they would transform into something else. Do you remember that, Mommy, watching that cartoon? Yeah, I love the Wonder Twins because they could just turn herself into stuff. Well, you know what? They couldn't do that until they activated. They were just regular brother and sister with no superpower, just walking along. But when they hit their fist together and said, activate, this thing would happen, and they would transform. Their power did no good till they activated it. Maybe that's not a good example. You don't know who I'm talking about. But made quite an impression as a youth, as you can see. Does anybody know about the Wonder Twins in here? Has anybody heard of them but me? You've heard of them. Anybody got a credit card? Okay. When it comes to mail, it has a little sticker on the front, doesn't it? To activate your card, please call this number. Because, you know, I've tried using a card before it was activated, forgot it and activated it, and would, you know, try to use it, and it would say, not been activated. Oh, can't use it. You got to call that number automatically, and then it activates it. Then you have the power to use what's on it. Thank you, Mel. That's a better example. And more that we all understand. So, activation is important. Our faith produces no works until we activate it through prayer, through shining our light, through actually doing something, through helping our neighbor out, through, you know, it's really, to be honest, I know it's meaningful to people, and I know our hearts are probably right when we say it, but there are times we can do more to just pray for somebody. There are times we can be the blessing. There are times we can take food to someone. There are times we can help our brothers and sisters out. There are times we can do something to really make a difference. There are times we can maybe go get their kids some school supplies or a backpack. There are times we can go out and be that blessing. That's our faith being activated. A man says, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Isn't that good? I'll show you my faith by how I live my life, by how I operate. You're going to see my God in action in my life. You're going to see him moving in my life. You're going to see the fruits of the Spirit. You're going to see the gifts of God operating more than just lip service, but actually doing what you say you believe in. How many folks, you roll your eyes and they tell you, yeah, I'll be there next Saturday, I'll see you. And you're already doing this, walking away. Yeah, they ain't going to be there. Because you know they never are. They're all lip service. I'm going to be, they don't come. They just say it. How many times as Christians do we just walk through the motions of our faith, just saying we're saved, you know, believing we're saved, but not letting our faith be operative in our lives to a point others are blessed by it? Isn't that the point of our faith, to share our faith so that others are blessed by it? And see, Joe's phone is activated. It's activated. And he has got somebody on the line. And I hope that's not an emergency, Mr. Brown. Is everything okay? Okay. Go to the next one. Thou believest, look at this verse here. This is an interesting verse. Thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. You're good to believe there's one God. The devils also believe, and they tremble. What's the point that James is trying to make? That the devils believe there's God, but they sure don't have saving faith. They sure don't have the grace of God in their lives. They're sure not born again. The devil believes in God, but he's not one of God's. And so it's important that we realize, you know, even Jesus said in Matthew, it was, everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but those that do the will of my Father? What's that verse mean? Doesn't mean that we have to walk this perfect line, do all these works to get to heaven. What it's talking about is, if you're truly born again, if you're truly mine, you're going to be showing that in the earth. You're going to be operating in that kind of faith. People are going to know, that's really one of my disciples. That's really one of my disciples. That's really one of my disciples. You know, we actually, and I'm saying this to give God glory and to make a point right now. And I'm going to announce again Sunday morning because I thought it's worth mentioning twice. But I want to let you know tonight, talking about people seeing your light shine and the fruit you bear of them knowing it's real. We got a check in the mail for the church a couple days ago from the place that me and Manley used to work. Manley was there full-time, I was there part-time. And we got a check in the mail from someone. They've never been in this church in a service to hear me preach. But they sent a check to the church with a nice card saying, I hope this seed blesses you as much as you and Manley have blessed me. Never been in this church, never have heard me preach, has her own church she goes to, very involved in her church. But she sent this church a check for $500. Is that not awesome? I think that is awesome. Just said that, you know, she had some extra money and just wanted to do something with it, wanted to plant a seed. Now, you're talking about faith in action? It'd been very easy to say, you know what, I can plant a seed, but I'll just keep it for me and I ought to go to the Bahamas or I'll do something with it. But said, I wanted to give back and be a blessing and plant a seed. See, that's faith in action on both ends. That's faith on her end being more than just saying, I believe in what you're doing there, James. I believe in living word and what they're doing. I believe in what you're doing, obeying. I support that. As the old saying, the proof's in the pudding, right? I mean, to sow a $500 seed, never heard me preach, but knows us, says a lot about how faith really works. Believing that. So, went and thanked her this morning and took her a little something special that I know she likes, and just thanked her and, you know, gave her a big old hug and said she'd go pop in and see us some Sunday morning. She really wants to come visit and see us. But that's faith in action. Man, when God speaks to you to do something or to, it's a lot easier to pull back and say, let somebody else do that. But you know what? God could be calling you to be that blessing. God could call you to be that blessing. We have someone here in the church, and I won't call the person's name because it's a private thing and I know they wouldn't want to be recognized. But when we was talking about getting that carport for the van, remember we talked about we need about $1,000. We need to get a carport to park that van. The tires are dry rotted. We need to protect that van. And I said, if y'all can help out, give a little extra toward that carport fund so we can get that carport bought. But the same Sunday I announced that someone came to me after service. I said, Pastor, you know what? God just dealt with me and spoke to me when you were saying that I'm the one supposed to do that and says, I'm just going to take care of it. One person took care of that $1,000 carport. See, that's how God works, and that's our faith. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to anybody. $1,000. I mean, not to Bill Gates, but, you know, it's a lot of money to any normal American. Even if you make good money. $1,000, especially when it ain't going for you. Especially when it's going to the church. I mean, there's folks that put $5 in, they're red-faced and tight knuckle try to let that go. That could buy me Taco Bell tomorrow. $1,000? $500? That's not little seeds. But that's faith being used and being seen. That's more than just saying, I believe in what you're doing. It's showing they believe what we're doing. So I think that's powerful. Absolutely, it comes back. And you know what? It comes back in more than one way. You know, people have this understanding because of all the prosperity preaching that I can't hardly watch it anymore. And I was raised in some of that, so I understand it. But I can't even watch it hardly anymore because people think, okay, well, I give this particular seed and I'll get this big check in the mail in 7 days or 7 months or 7 years, whatever, you know, for this astronomical amount of money. But what we fail to realize is the blessing of God comes much more ways and much deeper, more important ways sometimes than money. Because whether we believe it or not, there are more important things than money. When you got diagnosed, Brother Keaton with that cancer, that was more important than all the money in the world, wasn't it? You want to be healed. There's things money can't buy. We would give all of our money up to save our rebellious child, wouldn't we? If our child was lost and in prison and just running the wrong road and he was just out there wild as a turkey, but we knew that if we gave up our money, God would save that child and he'd be in heaven forever and live a life of peace, and we'd trade that in a heartbeat. So there's ways, and God does accord blessings financially too, not saying that. God does take care of our needs. God's opened doors for my life. God's opened doors for Melanie's life. God's opened doors for my children's lives. God blesses in many ways. But don't be misinformed by all this other kind of teaching that talks about sow this seed, get this amount, and so many. That's heresy, to be honest. That's foolishness. There's nowhere in the Bible that speaks of that. And there's people that take financial verses and abuse them and turn them into some kind of prosperity gospel. It's not even applying to that. God absolutely meets our needs. God absolutely blesses us. God absolutely brings it back more than we could ever give away. But there's not some trick to it. There's many blessings. Peace in your home. Health for your bodies. You're walking, you're talking, you're hearing, you're seeing. Your blood's clean. Your blood's good. Your heart's good. I mean, there's things that, you know, you got a safe home to live in and clothes on your back and your bills are paid. You know, even though we don't like bills, it's a good feeling when they're paid, isn't it? When they're paid, just paid. Man, my bills are paid. Thank you, Lord. See, God showed up and showed. See, the thing what Kevin said is that, you know, it's about, you know what the Bible says, the condition of our heart's important on how we give. You know, are we giving to try to catch a break, or are we giving because we love God? Are we giving because we want to bless other people and bless the church and bless our family? That's, you know, why we give. Not to, you know, like when you do stuff for your kids or your spouse, you don't do stuff for that to get something back. You do it because you love them, because you want to do it. And God sees that. When you want to give to God and you want to bless God, he's going to definitely bless you. Have I read this yet? Well, thank you. Jeremy's so good, keeps me straight. You still 40, you're still hanging in there. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Once again, it's not contradicting the Pauline theory of faith alone. James is simply making the point that if you really have true faith, you're going to really have true works. Just that simple. If you really have faith in God, there's going to be some fruit that manifests from that. It's not going to be just the same old person you were, or you're not going to be quiet and dormant. You're going to want to share what God gave you. Next verse. Was not Abraham our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. You remember the story of that. God spoke to Abraham, says, sacrifice your son, your only son. So Abraham took his son, the one on a hill, and he was going to do that. He was going to sacrifice his own son. It wasn't the works that saved him. It was the work of sacrificing his son that proved his faith. So there's a difference. This isn't saying that he was justified because he did something on his own. He was justified because his faith was proven to be true. Do y'all understand that? His faith was proven to be true. When we act out our faith, when our good works are shown, it's evident that there's true faith alive in us. Because true faith will produce that. A dead faith or no faith will not produce that. It's just that simple. So it wasn't Abraham's deed that got him justified. It was his obedience by faith. Acting out his faith, the point of, okay, God, I believe you so much. My faith in you is so strong. I'm going to not just say, okay, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And that's when, of course, God honored him, provided a sacrifice, and Isaac, of course, was spared. The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And so are we. That's good news. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith alone. Once again, this is not contradicting the faith alone message. What James is trying to implement here, can you go back to that one? I'm sorry. What he's trying to implement here is that it is, if you have true faith, you're going to produce true works. It's kind of like, to take a skilled job, a mechanic. Okay, you take your car to a garage, trusting that mechanic knows what he's doing. Okay, there could be a man dressed in a mechanic suit all day long. He could have grease on his hands and grease on his face. That does not mean he's a mechanic. He can say he's a mechanic. He can have on his shirt, "Bud, I'm a mechanic." Don't mean he's a mechanic. He said, "Look at all my tools." Don't mean you're a mechanic, because you got tools. I got tools at my house. Y'all know my story. It don't mean you're a mechanic, because you got some wrenches and screwdrivers, okay? And you're wearing the outfit, and you got grease on your hands, and you're standing inside of a garage. So how does he prove he's a mechanic? He fixes your car. You see him take out the alternator, take all the stuff out around it, put the new alternator in, bolt it in, put everything back in place, crank it up, test the voltage, boom, it's fixed. His works proved he was a mechanic. So that's kind of how it is spiritually. If we are what we say we are, Christians, followers of Jesus, God's children, sold out, redeemed, blood bought, if we say those things, there needs to be some proof in the pudding to show we are who we say we are. More than just wearing a shirt that says, "Hi, I'm a Christian." Show you're a Christian. Be a Christian. Act out your faith. That's what the verse of Hebrews is talking about. It's been mispreached for years. But the verse that says, "Work out your own salvation," is not talking about we get saved by our own works. Not at all. Study that scripture. It means that we are to work out. We are to actively operate in our salvation, showing the world we're saved, showing them that, who we are. Because we know everybody that says they're a Christian sure don't live like one, do they? Y'all know some folks that say they're Christians, and you're like, "Really? I'm going to be in heaven with you?" Children even know that. So we know people say they're Christian, but they talk terrible. They're ugly acting. They're mean acting. So, you know, that's what he's talking about. Your works will follow your true faith. Likewise was not Rahab the harlot. We know that story. She helped the 10 spies escape, or the two spies escape. Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, had sent them out another way. They were about to capture these spies, and Rahab the harlot, a bad woman, as my mom would say, a woman of ill repute, if you're in that generation. This woman that was bad and dirty and wasn't living right, she helped God's people escape death. And because of her obedience to them, because of her love for them, not only did she believe who they said they were, she believed enough she helped save their lives or risk her own life to do it. See, that's faith. Faith is that she risked her own life to help them escape. And she's mentioned in Hebrews as one in the Hero of Faith Hall of Fame, Rahab the harlot, because her faith in these messengers of God was proven. You know what that tells me? That she received what they had to offer because she operated in that faith to save them. For as the body without the spirit is dead, and we know that for sure, and we know when our spirit leaves, we're dead in the flesh, so faith without works is dead also. Is that the last verse? I got some point. Okay, yeah. Three reasons why showing our works is important. Now, before you go anywhere else, Jeremy, hang on. I'm going to point out three reasons why showing our works is important, but I want to define this first. Works has nothing to do with saving us. Us being saved has everything to do with works. Because once we're saved, we start acting like we're saved, if we're really saved. Go to the next slide. That's why I want to explain this. Works are not to obtain salvation. They are a result of salvation. They're a result of it. Think about where you were before. I don't know all your stories. I got saved young, so I don't have quite a juicy story as some of the others. But maybe some of you were real rambunctious before you got saved. Keevan, was you a pretty bad boy before you got saved? Joe, was you a bad boy before you got saved? See, I got all holy people in here tonight. Oh, Kenneth, thank you, Kenneth. So Kenneth wasn't real good before he got saved. He's a bad boy. He's being honest. That's good. He was a bad boy up in Michigan, Wisconsin. Was it Wisconsin? Wisconsin. He's a bad Yankee. He was a you-know-what Yankee. I'm like, he was a bad Yankee. So Kenneth was bad, living his life, doing his thing. And then Kenneth, when you gave your heart to God, you changed, didn't you? Your life changed. There was a complete turnaround. And you started acting different than you did before, I'm sure. His faith was so real, see. He wasn't just going around Wisconsin or wherever he got saved at saying, "Hey, I've been saved." give me 50 bucks. You know, he wasn't doing that anymore. When he said, he told people, I got saved, I'm following God now, he changed his life. His works followed that profession. Many can profess. And you know, that's one of the problems, really, in the Catholic Church. And I know y'all have some experience with the Catholic Church, Brother Fresco. The Catholic Church. Because they're all about works. They teach that. And they're about, hey, confess, get your little forgiveness, and then just, you know, they keep on living their lives the way they want and just keep coming back out of forgiveness over and over and over and over. Just repetitive forgiveness over and over and over. They never get in their hearts, you know what? If I've got real faith in Christ, I should become a confessional every third day. If I got real faith in Christ, I should be acting it out and living that way. Not living my own way and expecting the church just to forgive me, but changing my behavior, changing my ways. True faith produces true good works. Go to the next one. Here's number one. We'll give you three reasons why our works are important to show. Our good works are important to show. Number one, our works in Christ point people to Him. By our works, they can see the love and power of God. That's the most important reason. I got a verse to back it up. Go to the next slide. This is in Matthew 5:16. This is Jesus speaking. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Why? To glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our good works are supposed to point people to a God who changed us. So that the people that knew Kenneth before he got saved can say, man, you really changed. You ain't the thug you used to be. What happened to you? Then there's a door. Well, I gave my heart to Jesus. Man, you changed that much because of him? Yep. There must be something to this thing. Is he really changed your life? He changed it. That's all you did? Yep, that's all I did. Give my heart to God. You ain't taking nothing? No. Gave my heart to God. Wow. I need that. Can he help me like that? Sure he can. That's why our good works are important. And what I mean by good works, I'm talking about really our faith being activated. That's why we should operate openly with our faith. That they see you're different. Why are you different? Because of Jesus. And they'll know if God can take someone like Kenneth or any of us and change us into what we are today, there's hope for them too. There is hope. Go to the next one. Here's the second point. The reason it's important we show our works. Our works become someone else's blessing. Remember the little guy that come to Deacon Brown's house and Mr. Brown turned him away? He wouldn't give him any winnings because he's just tight. I'll pray for you. Go on. I got my own problems. I'll be praying for you. Leave me alone. Let's reverse that picture now. Deacon Brown, hadn't eaten 3 days. I'm so hungry. I don't have a job. Blah, blah, blah. He might look rough and ragged. Can you just give me some food? Come on in, son. Sit down. Sharon, what we got in the refrigerator? Fix him up a meal. And they fix him a good hot meal, and they fellowship, and they feed him, and they talk to him, and they witness to him. And maybe they didn't give him 10 bucks to go out. So here's 10 more bucks for you for your next meal. And son, and they pray with him before he leaves. What's happened? It's been more than just faith is dead. They did something with their faith. Faith blessed him. That's what our faith was to do, is bless others. There's times that church, that God's calling us to be that blessing. You may think, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have what I need. You don't know. It just takes a little bit to bless someone. One thing you do, Sister Fresco, Sister Josie, I love that you do, is she'll send me a card every few months, a card in the mail to us, to the church. Thank you, Pastor James, what you're doing. We love you. We're supporting you. We believe in what you're doing. We think about the church. We pray for y'all. You know, that takes time and effort to do that. To sit down, get a card, write it out, put a stamp on it, and mail it. And those bless me. I want you to know they really touch me when I get them. Those mean something. That's her faith being exercised. It's more than just telling me in passing at Walmart, hey, I'm praying for y'all. That's great. But to get a personalized card, she really is thinking about us. Really is praying for us. How much more can we do with our faith for others that we don't do? How many times have we missed out not being the blessing because we're waiting on someone else to be that blessing? Someone with more money, more time, more opportunity. God may have called you just to do that. Just to do it. Maybe you're in a drive-thru, we're getting breakfast one morning. God speaks to you. Buy the car behind you breakfast. And knowing my luck, it'd be somebody getting a catered office party of 20 meals. But just buy the person breakfast behind them. Something that simple. If God speaks to you or you feel at all inclined, there's a reason for it. It could be the very answer they're seeking to say, God, I need a sign today. I need an answer. I need to know you're there for me. And then boom, that person's bought your breakfast. Wow. Thank you, God. Be the blessing. Our good work shows that we can bless others. How are we blessed? By people. I don't care what anybody says. It takes people to bless people. You know how all this offering comes in every service? Most services, we get some money. We get offering. You know how this offering comes in? Every penny that comes in comes from somebody. After y'all leave, I don't do some rain dance and pray for cash to fall out of the ceiling. Lord, we need more money. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, I start doing a dance, and all of a sudden, bills start floating out of the air. No. The only reason this has anything in it is because y'all are the blessing. Period. You go to a restaurant, order a meal. When they bring your ticket, just say, I'm not going to pay. I'm going to let somebody else get the blessing today. Yeah, you got to pay for that, right? Somebody's got to pay the bill on that. Everything comes from people. And so all blessings come through us. We are the vehicle. Humanity is the vehicle God uses to bless mankind. It comes no other way. It has to come from us. And you may be saying, I'm not in a position to bless anybody. You don't know what you can do. Something simple. Go to a nursing home and talk to the directors and say, I want one person in your facility, one that has no family, that's always lonely. They'll give you a list of them probably, but say, give me the most needy person you have in the nursing home that just needs something. And go in that room and say, hey, I'm Joe Brown. You know, I just here and I just wanted to come visit you. I understand you don't have any family. Talk to you a minute. Give them a hug, pray for them, bring them a candy bar, whatever, and walk out. You know, that's a blessing. Those people light up when you walk in their rooms. They light up to see somebody because a lot of them don't have anybody. So we could be a blessing a whole lot of ways more than thinking about just big money. Just be a blessing. And here's a verse for that. We just read it. James 2, 15 through 17. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you don't give them anything which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So we are a blessing, or we use our faith to bless others. If we don't, it doesn't profit them. Once again, just saying I pray for you sometimes isn't enough. They may need a follow-up phone call. They may need a personalized letter. They may need a lunch date. Hey, let's go out to lunch. You know, they may, you know, every once in a while, Kevin does this. And a few of y'all have done this, but Kevin does it sometimes. He'll call me. Got him on ID. Kevin C. Seen on there. Call. He'll call and say, hey, Brother James, how you doing? Good. Just want to call and let you know I love you. I'm proud of you. Thanks for what you're doing. Keep going. I don't have any needs. I don't want anything. I just want to tell you, thank you. Wow. You know what that does? That does. I got your card. It touched me, Carol. Thank you. Sent me a beautiful card. It touched me, just what you wrote in it. Just, it's so encouraging. Once again, faith in operation. Faith. Just because Carolyn's thinking about me, I don't know she's thinking about me. She's in her living room drinking coffee. I'm thinking about Pastor James. Let him know, Lord, how much I love him. And God will just send me some kind of Star Trek beam to let me know. Carolyn's drinking a cup of coffee, creamy sugar, thinking about you. Wants me to tell you she loves you. I mean, God could do that, but that's normally not how it works. But instead of just thinking about me, how much she loves me, she sends me a card to show me how much she loves me. That's faith in operation, and we can all do that. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So we know that. We bless others. Here's the last and third point. Our works, our faith being operative, also, not only does it glorify God, number one, not only does it bless others, number two, but it produces a harvest of blessing for us. When we operate our faith out, real faith, when we live out our faith, it opens the blessing for us. Look at a scripture here. And once again, this verse been preached my whole life about money. It could apply to money, but it's not inclusive to money. Give, and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosoms. For the same measure that you mete out shall be measured again back to you. Powerful verse. So why do we operate in our faith? That the blessing of God can come back on our own lives. And that's how we open that portal, is that we bless others. And then God's promise in his word, this is Jesus' words, whatever you measure out, you're getting that back in your own life. Now, of course it can be applied financially as well, but not just financially. Do we measure out compassion, forgiveness, and love? Do we measure out time spent with someone in need? What are we measuring out in our lives? How are we operating our faith? Do we have a listening ear? Are we sharing the Jesus with anybody? Does anybody even know we're saved? Are we that inclusive that they don't even know we're saved? Whatever measure we mete out. So our faith's operative that we can be blessed and that men can give back into us. The movie It's a Wonderful Life. In closing, I'll say this. You know the story. Jimmy Stewart, Wonderful Life. Whole life he blessed the town, right? His whole life he blessed the town. Could never do his own thing because he's always trying to help bless other people. And at the end, when his crisis came up, he's about to go to jail for something he didn't even do. All of a sudden, all the people started filing in his home. Pockets full of money, hats full of money, dumping it right there. Dumping all that, bringing back to his life all he had given out. Because his faith was operative through all those years, God restored it back to him in his time of need. That's how God works. So that's why we do it. That's the last one, right? Real faith. That's what it is. More than just saying it, it's doing it. Nike got it right years ago. Just do it. Just do it. If you're thinking about it, do it. If you want to bless somebody, just do it.